Did anybody else tear up at the mascot camp? Come on, somebody. My God. Like the whole time I was thinking, God cares about the little things. So if you feel out of place this morning, God has a place for you in him. No matter where you park, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you face, there's a place for you with God. God can do for you what your parents should have or the abuser shouldn't have. Come on, he loves you. God loves you so much. My God. And if you get a taste of that love, you can never go back. Come on. We've encountered religion instead of a person. That's why we don't stay. Come on. Oh, my gosh, I feel the Holy Ghost. He's here. Then the third thing that was stirring on my heart is worship. Worship is not the time for you to show up late. Amen. Worship is an opportunity for you to not only worship God, it's an opportunity to declare what you want him to do in your life. So worship is not about how you feel. Worship is a declaration about where you want to go. Because God isn't moved by our feelings. He's moved by faith. And faith comes by hearing the word. So what you hear determines what grows in you. You will never be able to outperform the inner image you have of yourself. How you see you matters. And when you worship God, he solidifies the image he scarred on you. Oh, boy. Y'all with me this morning? Come on, Crossroads. So it's an honor to be here with you. I did not send slides. I didn't send a title because American church is spoiled. So I said I'm going to leave you on the edge of your seat. So ain't going to be no verses on the screen. Come on, you're going to have to search this morning. Come on, somebody. Is there anyone here who has never heard me preach here at Crossroads? Raise your hand. Be bold. Because that's going to determine if I share my story or not. I really don't want to share it because I want to preach. But if I don't, it won't give you context to what you're about to witness. Because passion is not personality. Passion is the Holy Spirit in your bones, and you got to let him out. Come on, somebody. So I'm going to share my story. I'll pray, share my story, and then I want to talk to you on the title of a voice anointing. A voice anointing. How do you find your voice and your calling? Let's pray. Holy Ghost, we welcome you here in this place. You will not be grieved. You will not be offended. I give you complete reign and authority. Holy Spirit, I ask you to articulate the Father's heart through my voice to your people. I pray that every ear is open, every heart is open, every mind is open to receive that which you have for us. So I humbly ask you to invade this space. And it's not by might, it is not by power, but it is by your spirit. So we honor your presence in this place this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says that we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So Jesus died already. The brother ain't dying again. That blood is still speaking, so he did his part. So if you want to get Satan out of your life, out of your marriage, out of your relationships, out of your family, out of this building, you got to open your mouth. The problem is when we get attacked, the first thing we do is shut down. You know why Satan wants you silent? Because there's power in your voice. Notice when Jesus was tempted, that brother didn't say, "Let me think about it." Listen, you have to learn how to override the inner conversations you have in your mind. You are not your thoughts. You do not win a spiritual battle with how you think. It starts in the mind, but it's won in the mouth. So you got to say something. When the enemy tells you opposite of what's written, you have to say to him, not think about him. He gets you in your mind. You got to speak. So when you share your story, when you share a testimony, when you share God's goodness, it silences your enemy. And if you read the Bible, that dude love to talk. All Satan do is talk all the time. He wants to talk louder than you. You got to open your mouth. So that's why we share our story. So I'm going to do the expedited version for the sake of time. Come on, somebody. Expedited. Like, I'm going to give you a reel. No, I'm giving you the real, not the real. We're in a generation of reels. We come to church, we want our 42 minutes, and we out. If you go 43, the lines at the buffet are going to be too long. Come on, somebody. We ain't missing lunch for nobody. But I'm from Chicago, born and bred. I grew up in generational poverty in the projects on the south side of Chicago. When my grandmother raised 9 kids on welfare as a single mom. And when I was 10 months old, my mother was murdered at the age of 17. She was shot in the head in a violent altercation. I've never met my father, don't know who he is. To this day, my family don't know who he is. My uncle was in a gang. He was murdered, shot in the head at 17. My aunt was in a domestic violent relationship. Her boyfriend murdered her at 28. And I had another aunt that died at 15 from a brain tumor from asbestos in the projects. So my grandma raised 9 kids. 4 died. She raised 9 grandbabies on welfare in the projects. So I grew up with a huge question mark on top of my head of who am I, why am I here? Wasn't made to go to school. No one in my family finished high school. No one went to college. I wasn't made to go to school. My grandmother had one rule in our house, and it was this: I don't care what you do between 8 and 3:30, just don't come home. You raise 18 kids. School hours is vacation. Come on, somebody. You ain't got to go home, but you got to get up out of here. So I went to school for 2 reasons. Number one, I got a free meal. I was on a hot lunch plan. I knew if I went to school that day, I would eat, because I would come home hustling, eating syrup sandwiches, sugar sandwiches, powdered milk. I would literally sit in the back of the class so I can eat and steal kids' lunches out of their book bags. The second reason why I went to school is I love gym class. Come on, somebody. I ain't go to PE. I went to gym. Old school red dodgeball to the face. Come on. Remember the real dodgeballs? Man, they got Tickle Me Elmo dodgeballs now. You go to gym. No. Remember dodgeball day was fight day? Hit me again, bro. Hit me again. But I picked up a basketball. For me, it became an escape of reality, and I got really, really good. Whenever I was on the court for 2 hours or 3 hours, I didn't have to think about being abandoned, being alone, no parents, being poor. So I took all my anger out on basketball, and I got super good. My desk sat next to the teachers. I was a kid that was suspended. I was a kid that was in trouble. I started game banging at 11 years old and selling crack cocaine by the age of 14. By a miracle, and I mean miracle, I made it to high school. My high school was 2,500 kids. I started as a freshman, started as a sophomore, only junior varsity. I was a 4-year starter, and I was the man. No, for real, I was the man. I was that dude, Jake. I was turned by King, homecoming court, prom court. I was voted the most athletic out my class, but nobody told me at the end of popularity was emptiness. I always park here to talk to young folk for about 30 seconds. Stop trying to impress people you'll never see again. No, for real. You try and be like people you will never see. You lose your identity in a moment because of the opinion of other people. The only reason why I see friends from high school again is because of Facebook. And remember the dude everybody thought was going to be something? Brother struggling. He need Jesus. Come on, somebody. So I remember at 18 years old being so broken. I couldn't get high enough. I couldn't drink enough. Because the void in my heart only got bigger. I thought if I got high, my problems would change. I thought if I would drink, my problems would change. I would come off being high and nothing changed. Because that's the lie of the enemy. If you're dealing with depression, drugs ain't gonna fix it. You having a problem in your marriage, the girl at work ain't gonna fix it. You need to deal with you. So I was so broken. I was being recruited. I always wanted to leave Chicago. I was like, give her brother a scholarship. Send me to Africa. Come on, somebody. I ended up scoring a 14 on my ACT. How many of you go to college with a 14? Raise your hand. You better not raise your hand. You're chilling with me at community college. Ain't nothing wrong with community college, but if you don't put in the work, you don't get success. So I ended up taking a scholarship to a community college. I played 1 year there, and I had an encounter that changed my life. I didn't encounter religion. I encountered a person. His name was Jesus. Come on. I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. That radically transformed my entire life. I finished at that community college with an associate's degree, transferred to Olivet Nazarene University, got my bachelor's and master's degree. I'm the first in my family ever to attend college. I met my beautiful wife there. We'll be married 16 years, 4 kids. Come on, somebody. For 12 years, we've been serving pro athletes. 8 of those were full-time with the Cincinnati Bengals. We just launched our full-time ministry called Covenant Culture Ministries, where we teach the word, preach the word, and we do marriage ministry. We launched a podcast called Covenant Culture Podcast. If you're interested, go check it out. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Amen. So this idea of a voice anointing, everything that God creates, he creates on purpose and for a purpose. Do you know with God, everything he does and speaks is intentional? Do you know God would never have to say he's sorry about what he speaks? So when God releases something from his mouth, there's an intended target for his word. So he said, sun be, light be. The sun came from nowhere. How many of you guys saw the sun this morning? It's still doing its assignment. Oh, I'm about to preach. The Bible says, as long as the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold and winter, summer and heat shall not cease. How many guys know you get winter in Indiana? How many snowbirds in the building? They're like, we out. Come on, somebody. In other words, we got seasons because God assigned it. Are you with me?
Yes.
None of those things are made in his image. Genesis 1, 2 through 6, God spoke things into existence. When it came to Adam, the Hebrew says God left eternity, put his fingers in the dirt, and formed man. God got his hands dirty. He still does. He can deal with anything in your life. He formed Adam. Come on, somebody. With his hands, in his image. That word image means to take a photograph. God took a selfie and made you. If the Son is still accomplishing its assignment, how much more are you made in the image of God? Everything God creates has an assignment. God knew we could not complete our assignment in our own strength, so he gave us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the supplier of the oil, or what we would call the anointing. What is the anointing? This word anoint means to rub or to smear with oil. And it was an act used for setting something apart for God. So when Adam is formed, he looked good on the outside, but that brother dead on the inside. I believe Adam was shaped like the old LeBron. Remember the swole LeBron before he lost all that weight? I believe Adam was 6'6", 240. Come on, somebody. Brother had a 42-pack, was swole, broad shoulders, and he had an afro. Well, why would you say that, Pastor Lamorce? Because it's easy to pack dirt. Come on, somebody. So that brother is dead. The camera lady about to get a workout. I am not sitting still. So this brother was dead on the inside, and then the Bible says God breathed. That word breath, ruach, breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. He anointed that brother. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me, Lord. God, in the Old Testament, allowed his Holy Spirit to rest upon men. We're going to see in the New Testament where he dwells in us. So he will come upon Samson, and that brother would do something crazy. And then he would do something stupid, and he would bounce. Bounce just means leave. Come on, somebody. All through the book of Judges, the Holy Spirit will come upon men. They will do something extraordinary. They will do something stupid, and the Holy Spirit like, peace out. Come on. Not with you and I. God, through the power of his Spirit, has rubbed against us to do supernatural things. And your behavior don't dictate that. Your behavior only dictates intimacy. The reason why God bounced from the garden is because Adam broke intimacy. He still loved him. Because even in his sin, God looked for Adam. Where are you? It wasn't a question of where the brother was at. God was like, why didn't you meet me for lunch today? What happened to our intimate meeting, Adam? And we do that. We'll do something stupid on Saturday night and sit way up there in the back on Sunday morning. Because when we sin, it scars our image, not God's. He's still there. Why? He already gave the sacrifice. It's finished. So we back up from intimacy. The Holy Spirit has said, no, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. God is forever reaching towards you. Just stop. Some of y'all are running the wrong way. Don't run away from God. Run to him. Fathers, come on, somebody. Run to that brother. Remember, Jesus gave the disciples their assignment before leaving the earth. Remember that? If you read the assignment, it was specific and intentional. This is what Jesus said. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Man, where you get that from? That's from the three Gospels. I just put them all together. Did you hear all the action verbs in there? Come on, somebody. He was very intentional on the assignment. Go, teach, preach. Come on, somebody. But then Jesus did something so significant. God gave this mandate to them and did say, all right, did you hear me? They're like, yeah, we good. Then Jesus said this in John. Do not leave and do nothing until my spirit encounters you. Yes. You need an oil change. Come on, somebody. Luke 24, 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That's right. So we get so excited to do things for God and we have no oil. You can't do nothing without the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, yes, go preach, go into all the world, teach, teach what? You better not leave it until you encounter my spirit. Come on, somebody. We're the only religion in the world that calls us for maturity in action with power. No other religion has power. But y'all should be excited, boy. That word tarry in the Greek means to make, to sit down. It means to set. It means to appoint. It means to settle. Jesus said, don't you go anyway till you settle with my spirit. Yes. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Yeah. You can't run with the vision without God's anointing, without being rubbed by his spirit. Come on, somebody. What happened to the lives of the apostles? How did they finish their assignment? Have you ever wondered about that? You ever wondered what happened to them? Many of them we know, some we don't. Right? Remember Peter? Remember that brother after the resurrection denied Jesus? Before the resurrection denied Jesus, remember that? I don't know him. Jesus comes up, finds him on the sea, told him to go fish, makes some food. Do you know after Jesus' resurrection, you always see him eating? Do you know the first thing we're going to do when we get to heaven is have a lamb supper? Come on, somebody. Jesus loved eating. Just do it in modesty. You feel me? Come on, somebody. So then he pulls Peter to the side. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? If you look at those three Greek words, none of them are agape. Peter cannot agape Jesus because of the way he saw himself. Listen, your self-image matters. How you see you matters. Your posture before God is determined by your image you think he sees of you. You got to see yourself righteous. You got to see yourself forgiven. You got to see yourself redeemed. You got to see yourself loved. And it's not based on you. It's all based on Jesus. We get the benefit of something we didn't do. Come on, somebody. So here's Peter. Jesus is like, Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. If you look up the word, Peter couldn't get to agape because he still saw himself as the one who denied the Christ. But then Acts 2 happens and he gets a rub on. And he preaches and 3,000 people get saved. Yes. Why? He got rubbed. He found his voice. Oh my gosh. Historians record that when sentenced to death by crucifixion, Peter requested to face toward the ground because he did not feel worthy to die in the same manner of Jesus. That's what happened when you get rubbed. What about Andrew? The Gospels don't tell us a great deal about Andrew, but reading between the lines reveals a person who thirsted for truth and found it in the living water of Jesus. What about James? Not only did James and John earn a special nickname from the Lord, the Sons of Thunder, they were privileged to be at the forefront of three supernatural events in Christ's life. Not only that, he was martyred in AD 44. See, when you get rubbed, you go to the finish. What about John? According to tradition, John outlived all the apostles, dying of old age in Ephesus, where he preached the gospel of love and taught against heresy. We know they tried to boil you, John, and he couldn't die. That's why they put him on an island. See, you find your voice when you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. What about Philip? Although little was known about him, after Jesus rose from the dead, historians tell us that Philip preached in Phrygia. We know he was martyred as well. What about Nathanael? Jesus said to him, there is no God. Come on, somebody. Once you get a rubbing by the Holy Ghost, ain't no stopping you. Yes. See, everything that you've been through in your life is to detour you from your assignment and your purpose. That abuse, that shame, being raised in that environment, don't allow offense to enter your heart from things you had no control over. I had no control over my mother's lifestyle. I had no control over a man who didn't want to be present in the life of a son. So why would I let that offense lock me in? Some of us are in cages and Jesus put the key in your back pocket. These brothers had every excuse not to fulfill this assignment, not to get their voice to the world. But no, when you get a rub on, when you get an oil change, something happens. What about Thomas? We know Thomas almost ended as a doubter, but because of the anointing became a pillar in the church. What about James, the other James? He is one of the most obscure apostles. The only thing we know for certain are his name and that he was present in the upper room at Jerusalem after Christ ascended to heaven. You know, when I was researching this, what I thought about? Everybody want to be influential. Everybody want to be an influencer. Everybody want likes. Everybody want retweets. Everybody want to be on. Just shut up. Might be quiet just to sit down and be quiet. Come on, somebody. It might just be letting God use you in the little things with little people at certain times. Not everything got to be filmed or broadcasted. Come on, somebody. No, not in 2024. Everybody got to see. I want you to know what I'm doing because I'm cool. Well, you don't want to be cool. You want to be anointed. What about Simon the Zealot? Y'all know what a zealot is? A zealot was a member of the fanatical sect. These brothers were crazy. And Jesus called them on his team. Everybody need one crazy person on their team. You know, that dude just want to pop off. What? What'd he say? What'd he say? What? Everybody need one crazy friend. Come on. What if he was the first security guard in church history? Come on, somebody. What about Thaddeus? Not much is said, but we know God used him. What about Judas? That brother got replaced by Matthias. You know, that's one of my greatest fears. If I have a fear, that if I don't live up to my God-given potential, use my voice by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God will raise up someone else. See, God's accomplishments, God's purpose, God's plan for the earth won't stop because you do. Talk to me, Elijah. God asked that brother 3 times, what are you doing here? In the cave. This brother was so bound by fear, an earthquake didn't make him run. God sent a firestorm, and that brother stayed still. Let the fire break out. I'm getting my family. I'll pray for y'all. He was so bound by fear, he stayed in the cave. Then you hear, I heard this preach for years. Then he heard the still, small voice. Do you know that is not in the original Hebrew? You know why the writers added that? Because they don't understand that you can hear silence. So the earthquake came, the firestorm came. Come on, somebody. What was the third thing? A wind tunnel. And then it got quiet and he thought God left. And then all of a sudden God does this. Elijah, what are you doing here? Fear is the number one enemy to your anointing. Afraid to do what God's called you to do, purposed you to do, and designed you to do. How many of you guys know if that chair was in fear, we'd all be on the floor? Come on, somebody. Get out of fear. You don't think these brothers were scared? They were scared. The difference between being scared and being and having the spirit of fear is the spirit of fear makes you park. You can still move by faith and be scared. Come on, I left a paying job to launch full-time ministry. Y'all, brother, the last 3 months has been for real. I feel like a real disciple. We left everything. And I got 4 kids to feed. Come on, somebody. No, I went scared, but at least I left. Come on. It doesn't matter how you start in life. It only matters how you finish. Each of these men found their voice, their purpose, their assignment because of the anointing. Do you know many of them felt unqualified? Many, if not all of them, made mistakes. God does not call you to be perfect. He calls you to be holy. And holiness has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the Holy Spirit working in you. Just yield to that. He'll do the rest. We in our own strength, Lord. I ain't gonna look again. No, Holy Spirit, help me. Lead me, guide me. Come on, church. They didn't do everything perfectly, but what was lacking was filled with oil. Oh my gosh. What about you and I? Listen to this verse, 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22. He says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God. Did you hear what I just read? Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us. You got to be established. That word established in the Greek means to be firm. It means to be durable, to be dependable, and to be reliable. In other words, we must be firmly planted in him first. Do you know the most disastrous person in the world is someone who's anointed with no character? You gotta have character. You need to be established. Some of y'all have some, and this is the gift. All right, let me lay this down real quick. There's a difference between a gift and being anointed for your assignment. Michael Jordan had a gift. It wasn't an anointing. LeBron has a gift. It's not an anointing. Steve Jobs had a gift. It's not an anointing. Elon Musk has a gift. It's not an anointing. Because an anointing points to the mission. A gift is for yourself. Every single person born in the earth is born with a gift. You're born with a gift. And that's out of your control. Some of you have a natural bend towards things. That's the indication of the gift that God put in you. Once you become born again, get filled with the Spirit, then that gift turns into an anointing. Why? Because if you're anointed by God, it always points to him. You ain't never heard in all the years I watched Michael Jordan say Jesus one time. You ain't never heard LeBron James say Jesus. He might say God, but we don't know what God he's talking about. Come on, somebody. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. Is that making sense? Each person in this room, you have a gift. You're born with it. It's free. The whole intention of the gift is to be given away. It is your responsibility to discover it, develop it, and deliver it. Come on, somebody. God has assigned you to do something. You're not here by accident. And I lived that way for 20 years of my life because my mother was a prostitute. So for 20 years of my life, I thought I was an accident. Until I found a place where it's written, I formed you in your mother's womb. You're here for something. Figure out what it is. Get in something you're passionate about. Stop living life so mundane. That's so boring and it's so dishonoring to God. He wants you in a place where you're passionate so you can give your gift away. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a season in your life where you have to do what you have to do. Then there's a season in your life where you do what you're called to do. And he needs you in the marketplace or wherever you are. I don't mean stand up here and preach. You do have a mandate to go tell people about Jesus, but that might be selling gutters. Might be in a nursing field. Might be on a basketball court. Come on, somebody. Might be in a front office. Might be in a factory. But at least it's do something. Oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. You got to be established with character. What is character? Your moral compass. Your moral compass coupled with a determined decision to make the right choices no matter the circumstance. We need men of character. Don't nobody preach character in church. We love gifts. We prize gifts above character. Oh, he can preach. Y'all, I was a thief all my life. I stole everything. Do you hear me? I had my own bike business. I would take 8 of my friends, 4 bikes, 4 people on handlebars, would go to the suburbs, steal bikes. I'd bring them home, put them in my backyard, shave off all the serial numbers, change all the spokes, the handlebars. Are you hearing me? And resell them, suckers. I broke into cars. I stole cars. Thief. I get saved, and God started working on my character. So I started detailing cars. How many of you guys know you drop money under your seats in your car? Come on, somebody. I started detailing cars. It would be 20 cars deep. I'm at the front. I find a $20 bill. I would grab it, and I would walk. I would grab that money and I would walk and give it back to the person. And I needed that 20. Brother was struggling. But if I would have stole that money, you would have never heard the name Lamorce Crawford. I had no idea I was called to preach. God was working on my character. Listen, God is the only teacher in life that don't allow you to pass grades. If you fail the character test, you're going to retake the class. So many of you wondering why you not get promoted in life because you're skipping character tests. Joseph, he passed every one. That's why we know his name. Saul didn't. That's why we don't. Your anointing is increased to the measure of your character. What about integrity? You got to be established in being integrous. What is that? It's the quality of being honest and having strong and moral principles and moral uprightness. You got to be established in having the right attitude. Your attitude is a fragrance. And some of y'all stink. You come in the room and change the whole atmosphere because of your attitude. And your culture or your situation is not a green light for you to have a stinky attitude. Because it's not honoring to God. The Bible says we should be a sweet smelling aroma to him, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2. And we stink it up when we have the wrong attitude because you think the world owes you something. World don't owe you nothing. Jesus died for you. That's the greatest gift you'll ever receive. Then you got to be rooted in agape love. I'm almost done. Y'all looking at me like, hurry up. If you're going to have a voice, If you're going to be anointed, you got to be rooted in agape. What is agape? Me and my wife simply says agape is lavishing love on others, whether they deserve it or not. Yes. And exactly what Jesus did to us. Could you imagine God sending his only son to die for people in which he know aren't going to choose him? Yeah. He got the worst end of the deal. Yeah. He bankrupt heaven for people who won't choose his son. Mm. On average, there's more people going to heaven. I'm sorry, hell than heaven. Yeah. Yep. Not because God don't love him. It's because of the rejection of a gift. God don't send people to hell. They go on by their own will and volition because they reject the greatest gift ever given. If I could write each of you a $100,000 check, you ain't gonna reject it? You can spend that on earth. God wrote a check for eternity. Gotta be established in love. You gotta love people. You gotta forgive folk. Boy, forgiveness will keep you bound. Yes. While the person who offended you go free. Yes. They living their life and you in a cage. Because you refuse to forgive. It is somber in this room. We're going to talk about Jesus. Don't you love talking about Jesus? And I'll let y'all go. I love white people, boy. I love y'all. My wife's white. I could crack any white joke I want. Listen to this verse. 1 John 2:20. Listen to this. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. Isn't that beautiful? You have an anointing. In other words, you have a voice. We have a voice because Jesus personally gave it to us. It's not determined by you. It's already been determined by him. You know Jesus had to find his voice? Jesus! Do you know Jesus would never hold us to a standard in which he didn't live first?
Yes.
No other God can make that claim. Wake up. I'm bringing the water gun next service. I'll be shooting marks. Remember? All right. Y'all know. Okay. Remember, Jesus shows up on the scene. He gets baptized. He goes in the water, fully in the water.
Yes.
Fully immersed. We ain't talking doctrine. I'm just trying to emphasize a point. The Bible says he came out of the water and the Holy Spirit rested upon him as a dove. It wasn't a dove.
Right.
It was described as the characteristics or the elegance of a dove. That's how gentle the Holy Spirit is.
Yes.
Come here, babe. Yes, on the stage. This wasn't planned. Come on, just stand next to me. All right. Yeah, right there. That's good.
Okay.
So the word anoint means to rub. Jesus comes out of the water and gets rubbed. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our paraclete. He comes what? Alongside us. What of the alongside is a rubbing?
Yes.
Y'all not here. Are y'all feeling me? I'm trying to give you a picture for the picture people. Listen, not only does the Holy... Stay still, babe. I need you to be firm.
Sorry.
Not only does the Holy Spirit live in us, he's on the side of us. He's behind us. He's on the other side of us. And he's in front of us. Listen, listen. Jesus gets rubbed at his baptism. Okay, thank you, babe.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate you. Listen, 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 y'all, listen. Then Jesus, in Luke 4:16, goes to the synagogue. Listen, let me read it. Let me read this. Do y'all get excited about the Bible? Why do I feel like I'm the only one excited about the Bible? Listen to this. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom... He was established. in the church. Listen, he went into the synagogue, and on the Sabbath day, he stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has rubbed me." What did he rub him to do? See, when you get rubbed, it's for something. God has given you a voice through the anointing to do something. Come on. What did he do after getting rubbed? To preach the gospel to the poor, blind Bartimaeus. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted woman at the well. To proclaim liberty to the captives, the man filled with the legion of demons. In recovery of sight to the blind man in John 9. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, men at the pool of Bethesda, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Come on, this is why you're here. If Jesus had to find the place where it was written, what about you? What about me? If you don't know the word, you don't have a voice. Oh, Lord, Jesus established himself in the local church. Before he found his voice, he had discipline. He was a man of character. He kept his word. He didn't care about being famous. He will become infamous in the eyes of some. Yes. See, when you get rubbed, you know what I used to tell my players? Never allow another person's opinion of you to become your reality. Ooh. Ladies, you date to character. Stop dating knuckleheads. No, for real. Stop it. Delete the dating apps. It's demonic. Don't get me wrong, there's been a few successes, but they're minimum. Date to character. If you don't see you for who you are, don't let his opinion value you. Yes. I don't think they caught it, babe. Don't let another knucklehead opinion put value on you. You're already valuable. And fellas, if you're married in this room, don't complain about what your wife looked like. She is the image that you've been speaking over her. Yes. Same with you, ladies. Don't complain about the character of your husband if you haven't been speaking life to him. Amen. Using words like stupid and dumb and you can't and you never or you always. Do you know those are prisoning words? Do you know how gentle the potential of a man is to the voice of his wife? I fought in gangs, but let my wife speak something negative to me, I feel like a punk. It's Father's Day. You better step up. Just because you have seed don't make you a father. It's how you show up that makes you a dad. What time was service? 9 to 10:15? That ain't bad. Shorter than the Colts game. Or a Browns game, I guess. I'm praying for you if you're a Cleveland fan. The Bible says lay hands on the sick and then I'll stop there. God has given you a voice. Not because of what you haven't done, not because of your weaknesses, but because he loves you. And many of you know of Jesus, but you don't know him. See, it's the difference when you have an intimate relationship with him than when you know of him. I got a list of 60 NFL players right now, plus that I could FaceTime on my phone because I know them. You know of them because you see them on TV. I intimately know them. I've sat in their living rooms. I've baptized their children. What about you? Do you intimately know Jesus? Have you truly surrendered your life to him? There is no anointing without an encounter. You could be gifted, but there's no anointing. So every head bow, every eye closed in this room, I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision. And for many of you, it would be the greatest decision you ever make in your life. And that's to say yes to Jesus. So I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up. I just want to invite you into a prayer. I'm going to count to three. And you hear, you say you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Maybe you know of him, but is he is the Lord of your life? Lord means you completely surrender. If he says go right, you go right. He says go left, you go left. That's lordship. So if that's you, I'm going to count to three. I just need you to be bold and lift your hand up. I'm going to include you in a simple prayer. There's no pressure. There's no condemnation. I just want to invite you to meet your King. So if that's you, you want to say yes to Jesus for the first time. I just need you to slip your hand up on three. One, two, three. Thank you. Be bold. Anyone else? You want to say yes to Jesus? You can put your hand down. As a family, or maybe you're watching online, I want you to be included in this as well. Just repeat this prayer after me. You're repeating it by faith. Now, as a family, y'all, let's pray this together for those who have raised their hands. Say, Father in heaven, I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ, I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I believe you came to the earth. You bore my sins on the cross. You were buried in the grave, yet you rose again on the third day for me. I give you my life. I give you my heart. Now, Holy Spirit, fill me to overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, come on. Come on. If you prayed that prayer, I want to first welcome you to the house of eternity. Then I want to encourage you to get plugged in the house and to let you know that your past has no voice over your future, that your present is sealed in him, and that the Bible says that all those things, Paul said, I forget those things which are behind and I press forward ahead. So come on, church, we are living in a time that the Bible speaks about than any other time period in history. We need his oil. We need the Holy Spirit to do exactly what he's calling us to do. Amen. God bless you.